This morning we have two passages from Scripture that occur in the middle of the night. Have any of you woken up in the middle of the night? I have a lot lately with our sweet little boy. Even if you haven't had children, perhaps you have experienced a fitful night or two of sleep in your life. Something weighs heavy on your heart, and you wake up with a start, and it's 3 a.m., and you turn it over in your mind. Or perhaps you wake up with excitement over something that's about to happen. These late-night wake-ups are part of our story from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the early morning, just as the sun is rising, and there's a writer named Leonard Beechey who calls this twilight time. Advent is, in fact, twilight time. Celtic folk refer to twilight time as the time between times, the time when the veil around us is lifted and you can see the sun just peeking through. Well, today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we are nearing the end of our journey in twilight time. We've been looking ahead through the darkness toward the birth of Christ, the light breaking forth. And we've been traveling with the prophets all Advent long, looking back at what they predicted would be true, the already of Christ who's come to be among us and who's reconciled the world, and the not yet of the second coming. Our first passage from Matthew takes place with Joseph sleeping in the middle of the night, a literal twilight time. He's been wrestling with this conundrum of Mary's pregnancy. You see, he knows she's pregnant, they're engaged, and so he assumes that she has been unfaithful to him. Now, back in Bible times, if you were engaged or betrothed, it was sort of akin to being married right now, because the woman's family would have given the dowry to the husband's family, they would have exchanged property, there was some economic security. And so to break off an engagement wasn't just as simple as a woman giving a ring back. It required going to the court and having a legal document drawn up to divorce your fiancé. If you were engaged, your family would have also made plans for your family to build a new home, probably somewhere on the family compound of the wife's family. So to break off a betrothal, while it was a weighty decision, it was something that would have kept Joseph up at night. And yet our passage tells us that Joseph is a righteous man. He's a person of integrity, and he wants to do the right thing. So I imagine this isn't his only sleepless night of sleep. He's been wrestling with this for months now. And yet, if he divorces Mary and signs that legal document, she could be killed. So he sits with this. Two lives are hanging in the balance, that of Mary and that of this unborn child. And so what Joseph resolves to do is quietly dismiss her so that her family can care for her and this baby. She would not have her reputation ruined. Shame would be prevented. It was the best option, or so he thought, until Joseph's sleep was interrupted by an angel. An angel comes to him and tells him that this baby to be born isn't another man's child, but the Son of God, and he should be named Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Joseph plays prominently in this passage, but he says nothing the entire time. It's only the angel that talks to him. In fact, if you look at the other Gospels, Joseph never speaks at all. Mary gets all the credit. But as this story unfolds, we learn that Joseph heeds the angel's words. He wakes up from the dream in the early morning. He decides to marry Mary, and they go on their way to Bethlehem for the census. Joseph's actions are so much louder than his words. And all because, in that twilight time, he changed his mind. He heard the voice of God through an angel, and he decided to follow that voice. And it allows a prophecy to come true. You see, Joseph wasn't just another guy, although our song did say that. He was from the line of David. He was from a kingly line, and he was to fulfill this prophecy. And Mary's line isn't too shabby either. You see, Mary isn't just an average teenager, although she was a teenager. Her family is from the priestly line of Levites, and her uncle Zechariah is the head priest. Mary and Joseph are chosen by God because of their family roots, their genealogy. You see, they fulfill the prophecy that Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the other prophets mention up to this point, that a king would come from the line of David, a royal priest would come to rule God's people. And so Mary and Joseph are just the right teenagers at this point in time to be the parents of Jesus. And yet they didn't know it. They were losing sleep over their situation. They had no idea what God had in store for them. They couldn't see clearly the light that was going to be shining bright when Jesus was born. All they could see was this really complicated situation, being pregnant, seemingly out of wedlock by the Holy Spirit, betrothed with no earthly father, and on a journey to this town where they didn't have any family. It is indeed a strange way to save the world. But that's often how God works, in mystery, in the midst of seeming chaos and complication, one step at a time. What Joseph did is what probably many of us do. He tries to take the next right step for that moment in time. We also had a prophecy from the book of Jeremiah. And it's one of the many prophecies we've read throughout this season of Advent, talking about who this person would be who would come to save the world. Now, prophets play a really unique role in Scripture. My friend and fellow Presbyterian minister here in Milwaukee, Deborah Block, has written a commentary on our passage from Jeremiah, and she has this to say about prophets. She says, in the days before Jesus was born, prophets played the role of the people who would interrupt the lives of others. Prophets say what no one wants to hear, what no one wants to believe. They point in directions where no one thinks to look. They hear God when everyone else has concluded that God is silent, and they see God when everybody else thinks God is gone. Prophets feel God's compassion, they feel God's love, they wake up in the middle of the night and have dreams, and they announce the hope of a future, that God will live and God will work with us against all odds. And that's exactly what Jeremiah is doing in this passage for today. He, like Joseph, has fitful nights of sleep. He cannot rest because the world around him is on fire. The king of the kingdom where he'd been living has been taken down. The Assyrians have taken over, and everything in his life as he known it has fallen apart. In fact, he's writing this prophecy from prison. And yet Jeremiah has such faith, even in the midst of a very dark time, to say this: the days are coming. God will give us a hope and a future, not in political power or wealth, but in a God who works through seemingly impossible things to provide a way. Jeremiah's word of prophecy comes in the middle of the night, just like Joseph's dream comes in the middle of the night. And both have parallels. The call is to trust not in yourself or your sense of control, but in God. God who is working in some still and small ways when you can't even see it. God whose light is breaking in like the morning sun breaking through the dark night sky at twilight. Joseph and Jeremiah both have hope. They're both connected to God, and they both have eyes tuned to see the world and the light of God at twilight. And what happens for both of them is pretty marvelous. They both end up seeing the light of God. They both see the twilight, the light breaking in through the darkness, and they both have hope to continue on their journey of faith. Well, today is our last Sunday of Advent. Christmas is just around the corner, and yet we're not quite in the full daylight yet. So I invite you today and in the next couple of days to settle into this twilight time. The bright lights of Christmas will come soon enough. The trees will glimmer and we will see those lights in full glory. But for now, linger in the early morning and ponder anew the gift that God gives us when we are just barely awake, when we're rocking our children who cannot sleep, or when we're seeing the sunrise break through the clouds. Because twilight time is that time when we can release our hold on false hopes and we can start to see a way through the chaos. Twilight time is when we can pause and lighten our load, let it go, to greet a new day where the sun will rise and we will have a fresh start. Twilight time, when we see our wounds, when we see our brokenness, but we also begin to see the reconciling power of God. Twilight time, when we can see past ourselves, past the darkness, to the new light and the new day. Because the light does shine in the darkness, and the darkness never overcomes it. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.